Good morning. It is July 5th, and I'm coming to you from Life Creek Church. Well, I'm coming to you from my house because we are still in quarantine. And I want to assure you that the elders are praying about when is a good time for us to come back together. Let's keep them in prayer as they do seek the Lord for when is the best time for us to join together again in community, right? So, and I know you're waiting for that day. I'm certainly waiting for that day and anxious to have it come along. But it's July 5th, and we're going to continue from quarantine with our services. And today we are continuing with the series from the book of Acts. And today we're going to pick up in Acts chapter 6. And the name of the sermon today, Serving Tables. That is the name of the sermon. Let's get that anchoring scripture verse where this comes from. And it is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you seven men of good repute, full of the spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Acts chapter 6. So we want to pray. And because it is July 5th, happy 4th of July yesterday. We want to pray for our leaders. The Bible tells us that we should pray for our leaders and keep them in prayer so that they would govern us well. And we want to continue to do that. Also, I want to pray for Bolivia today. You know, those who have seen the devotional that I send out three times a week, or that I should say Sabrina sends out for me. I just record it. And it is sent out three times. On Friday, I gave an impassioned plea as I received word from a missionary friend of ours in Cochabamba, Bolivia, that the death toll was mounting from this virus and was much worse than what the numbers in the news are showing because they are simply not able to even get the counting done. And that in Cochabamba, which is a city that's about 6,000 feet above sea level, there are people literally dying in their cars because there is no room at the hospital, and they wait in their cars hoping to get in, and they have been dying there. Really desperate, horrible situation. They don't have a whole lot of hospital equipment or hospital space, and so it is a desperate situation. Now, I want to pray for them, for our country, and for this word this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, with faith in your name, in your stead, in your presence in our world. Lord God, we ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus, to guide our leaders, to let's have peace in our country and unity. Bring us together. Lord God, guide our leadership, that the leadership would seek peace among all people. And Father God, I pray for Bolivia that your hand would be there, Lord, for healing in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we ask for you to heal the people. We say that this virus is not above the name of Jesus, but must bow its knee. Let's put it under our feet, Lord. We thank you, Lord God. And Father, for this sermon this morning, I pray for your anointing on it, Lord God, that our ears would be anointed to hear what it is you're trying to say to us today. And that not only we hear, but we be doers of your word as well. I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So Even during the prayer, as I was thinking about that, our country being very divided politically and even on many policies. And as the sermon is coming out today, you will see that in Acts chapter 6, divisions arise. But before we get to that, let's just go ahead and talk about what we've been doing, okay? What we've been doing with this series in Acts, and that is trying to find out what the identity of the early church was. What did the early church look like? Who did they see themselves as? And remember, we talked about this before, that the early church, the disciples, they didn't see themselves as breaking off from Israel, from the Hebrews, from Jewishness. After all, Jesus was Jewish. And the interesting thing is that the calling of the Jewish nation was to be a light to other nations. They were to be guided by God, seen by other nations. That was the point. And that other nations would desire God as well. But that wasn't happening. It wasn't succeeding. We talked about exile, return, and the word of encouragement, the devotional that I have been giving you over the last, well, now over the last 4 weeks, going through the minor prophets. We even saw this week where after the return, the people still were struggling. They were not where they should be, and we finished Malachi, so we finished the minor prophets, but here we are now looking at the identity of the early church, and Jesus, he came to fulfill the calling of Israel. Remember, he came to be a light to the world. He is the light of the world. The Jewish nation was supposed to be a light to other nations. Jesus fulfilled that by becoming the light of the world. So, and fulfilled many other things, as we've talked about how Jesus identified himself with the temple, and the temple is a place where God meets with us. And how do we know the name of Jesus? As Emmanuel, God with us. So we've talked about these things, the fulfilling of the calling of Israel in Jesus. And now the disciples are thinking, well, they're Jewish, and they're now going to continue as Jewish and fulfill this calling. But things begin to change. Now, there was no rule book as what the church should be, how they should look, how they should be governed. So the disciples are finding their way. And here we are at Life Creek, a young church, finding our way. We are seeking God for our identity. So what are we taking away from the book of Acts? That's what we're looking at. That's the goal of these sermons on the early chapters of Acts. And here is what we have seen so far. Here's our list. The identity of the early church: they were empowered by the Holy Spirit. Why? To be witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Here is how it is branching out into the rest of the world. The Holy Spirit is empowering them to be witnesses to other parts of the earth. Actually fulfilling that call again of being light to the nations, right? So and that is through the power of the Holy Spirit. We've talked about this. We don't need power to sit in a pew, to sit in a chair. The Holy Spirit gives us power to be his witnesses. And so the challenge to us is, how are you using the Holy Spirit's power? All right, and then we saw that in chapter 2 that the early disciples were devoted to teaching, fellowship, the breaking of bread, and prayer. They were devoted to this. as many came in to their numbers, they were teaching together, they were fellowshipping, they were in prayer together, communion together, and they made sure that there was no lack among the brothers and sisters. What did the early church look like? Well, it didn't have lack. Some who had sold what they had to give to some who didn't. It was community. It was community caring for one another, making sure that there was no need among them. And because of these things, the growth occurred naturally. Miracles continued. And then what happened? Well, we've seen that they faced opposition, political opposition. Jewish council who was politically tied, coming against Peter and John for doing what? For healing in the name of Jesus. And they were ordered not to do that. And what was the response of the church? You decide. Should I obey you and this man's decree, this man's law? Or should I instead be obedient to God? And they couldn't hold it inside. They had to talk about Jesus. But also we saw that they are more than just Hebrew now. It's going to the othermost parts of the earth. The power of the Holy Spirit, when it came upon them, caused them to speak in other languages, languages they didn't know, to share the word of Jesus. This is what the church is looking like. And what we are asking ourselves is, do we look like this? And should we? We need to hear the voice of God to direct us on what we as a church should look like. What is our flavor? What should we be? How is the world seeing us? And that is something that we're going to cover more in today's sermon. So let's go back to the Word of God in Acts chapter 1 and following. Now, in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables." I want to stop and talk about this for just a minute. And that is that here we're seeing more opposition. But this time, it's coming from within this group that has grown. The Hellenistic Jews, the Greek Jews. And they are complaining. And why are they complaining? Because their widows are being neglected. Their people in need are not getting daily distribution. And they begin to complain. Well, the Jewish people are getting this daily distribution. Not the Greek people in need. What's happening here? We're looking at the possibility of a church split, this group splitting. And what did the disciples do? First of all, let's talk about what caused this. Their group is growing so large that the disciples can't reach everyone. So they're taking care of theirs locally. They can't reach everybody. So what did they do? They go ahead and look to appoint others to fulfill this call. So is this call necessary? Absolutely. We're going to take a look at that in a second. But what is going on here is they are raising up other people to take care of those in need. One of the things that Rhonda and I did while we were in Bolivia when we were raising up churches is we did not have the intention of raising up a church that we would pastor. We wanted the locals, the nationals, to become the pastors. Now, we speak Spanish and can reach them. And, of course, I've talked about where we were in the mountains. There were two languages, basically, and that is Aymara and Spanish. And many of the people's first language was actually Aymara. But we spoke Spanish and could communicate with the people, but never felt that even with Rhonda's expertise as an intercultural specialist, understanding other cultures and seeking to understand other cultures, even with that we would never completely be Bolivian. So we wanted to raise up others to pastor. And we did that. And we planted churches and put other people that were knowledgeable and empowered by the Spirit of God into those positions to reach others with the Word of God. And then we moved on to do it again and plant another church and raise up another pastor. So we kind of became the pastor of pastors, really. And of course, we spoke at each of our churches, and we continue to have some influence there and some input, and is why, you know, I know what's going on in Bolivia. We love the people there. But this is going on here. The Hellenist Jews are upset, and we don't want to have a split of this group. So we have to minister to those people as well. But the disciples can't do it, so they look for others to do it. In other words, I feel that every minister should seek to work himself out of a job, to raise up other people to do ministry within, ministry that he can't do, and even ministry that he can, so that the word of God will spread. That's what we should be looking to do. And there are different ministries and different people to head up those ministries. And I believe that's speaking to us today, particularly, because I want you to listen to this sermon today, asking yourself, what are the ministries we have in our church? What is the service that we are known for? How are we serving? So again, we see the disciples, the 12 brought together all the disciples, and there were a lot of them, and said, it is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. So we need some other people. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 more men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. Full of the Spirit. This is an anointed job. This is not something less than. It is something that's necessary in the body, and they are to be anointed. Full of the Spirit and of wisdom. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicolaus, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. Now, I want to point out that Stephen was a Hellenistic Jew himself. So he too, you know, he wasn't Jewish born, he was Hebrew born, and he is being raised up. So this ministry is spreading. And it's spreading to others that are full of wisdom, full of the Spirit of God. And again, I want to say that it is not a less than ministry. It is simply another ministry. And we will see next week in part 2 how powerful Stephen moves in the Spirit. Let's keep looking here. They in verse 6, they set their hands on them. They prayed and laid their hands on them and to send them off, to anoint them, to show the community, these are the ones. They were devoted to what? To ministry of the word and prayer. Pick out 7 to serve. And they served. And what was the result? The word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. I want to point that out. The priests became obedient to the faith as well. That is something very special, isn't it? I mean, these are the Jewish priests. They began following. Why? Because there was teaching of the word and prayer and service. Now, I will say sometimes Christians think that we need the ministry of the word and prayer, yes, but they neglect the ministry of service, of reaching out, of fulfilling needs. And you've heard me speak about this several times, how James points out that somebody comes to your door and tells you what they need, and you pray for them and send them away. And what is that? That's faith without works. And according to him in chapter 2, James says that faith without works is dead. And he says, you show me your faith, but I show you my works, right? And he says that the works, faith without the works is dead. And I show you my faith through work, right? They go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. On the other hand, if you have all the social justice and you're doing good in the world, that's great. That's wonderful. But it's not the ministry of the church. You got to have the ministry of the word and prayer as well. That's where the power really comes from. And that's a piece of the kingdom of God breaking into this world, breaking into our lives. If you don't think so, just ask somebody who's been in need and you've gone and prayed for them and also supplied the need. What do they think of that? That is the kingdom of God coming through. This is us being now the temple of God, where God meets the earth and meets the people of the earth by offering the ministry of the word, the forgiveness of our sins, but also offering the fulfillment of their need. It's all. It's both and. Both the social justice end as well as the ministry of the word and prayer. Nothing is done without prayer. We shouldn't do anything without prayer. We shouldn't be preaching without prayer. We shouldn't be reaching out to fulfill needs without prayer. We need God's guidance in this and his presence, his anointing on everything we do. Let's go on. So the word of God continued to increase. And I just kind of wanted to point out that the word of God increased. And you recall the parable of the sower who sows the word, and some of it falls on stony ground, and some of it is taken away by an enemy, but other is going into good soil. And it increases. The seed increases and brings fruit in its season. And this is how it increases. Oh, I'm sorry. I jumped ahead a little bit. So I also want to quote from Isaiah 55:10-11. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. That's the word of God in Isaiah 55:10-11. So what's our challenge? Our challenge is to ask ourselves what our church looks like. The church must have the ministry of the word and prayer, but also service. What is our service? What is the identity of our service, not only to ourselves, but in how we are seen by the world, by others, and by our neighbors? How do they see the church? Do they see the church as just wanting to fight with one another? Do they see the church as wanting to fight even with the world? Or do they see us fulfilling the needs of people, both in the ministry of the word and in the ministry of service? We need to be a people of prayer to succeed to do that. So my challenge to you is, personally, what part of the service are you in? And there are many ways to fulfill that calling. And maybe you do it in your profession as a doctor or as a lawyer or some other job that God has anointed you to do in his service. But also, sometimes that way that is done is right through the church. What is our church's flavor? What is our church's service? And are we seen just as a Korean church? Or are we seen as a church fulfilling the needs of others? Now, I know our church has more than just Koreans in it, and that's great. It is sometimes difficult being in a Korean building, isn't it? That we can be seen as a Korean church, but clearly we have others that come to our service as well and are a part of the service and a part of us. And I'm thinking of a few of our specific members who have come and frankly shared with me lately some word and contributed to it. And I thank you for your encouraging words that you send to me. But we do want to be sensitive that when someone who is not Korean comes to our church, let's make sure we go out of our way and welcome them. But we should be welcoming everybody. What about a visitation team? Is there a visitation team? Are we following up on the people who visit? And sometimes we might think, oh, well, I don't want to bother them. Believe me, calling them and following up is really not bothering them. It takes psychologically 7 different contacts before somebody feels like they know you. Let's make those contacts. Let's reach out. Let's when we have a guest, let's recognize them, greet them, find out where they're from, give them a call. I have actually become members of churches that way, because the most important thing to me was how they received me and welcomed me. And it is things that happen to me. So that's just one part, though. There are so many services that we can do. And we've talked about the visiting of the sick and the hungry, the prisons, so many needs in this world. And so many needs of people that are hurting in their heart that they do need the ministry of the word. Maybe they have everything they need physically, but they don't have God in their hearts. And we need that as well. That's why we need people full of wisdom and full of the Spirit of God. Amen. This is part one of our sermon. Part two picks up on Stephen operating in the power of the Holy Spirit as we continue to read and what takes place. It's a real game changer. And it is really a good story to continue with Stephen. And we'll do that next week. Let's go ahead and pray. And I want to ask you once again, I've asked this several times as we've gone through the series in Acts. Why are you empowered by the Holy Spirit? What has he empowered you to do? How are you being a witness to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, your home, your own family, your neighbors, the neighborhood, your city, your county, and the uttermost parts of the earth? Ask that of yourself. Ask it of God this week to tell you how he wants to use you. Amen. Father, I just thank you, Lord God, for your word. Let us be the church that you want us to be. Help us, guide our leaders to direct us in becoming a church that can reach the world for you. Doesn't matter how many we are in numbers. It was just you and the disciples, and yet the world knows you, or has heard of you at least. Lord God, help us to reach those who haven't heard, or to reach them with your power of your Holy Spirit that would convict them to come to you. Let us minister your forgiveness. Let us minister to their needs. Lord, let us take on that mission that you took on in Luke 4, 18 and 19, setting the captives free, ministering to the poor, presenting the year of Jubilee. Thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, for it. We thank you for your Spirit in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.